Well, hello everyone. It's been a little while, and I do apologize. It's been a long season so far. I'm trying to wrap up the outfitting business for the year. I have two more archery hunters coming in tomorrow, and they'll be hunting Kansas. And we just got quite a little rain. It rained off and on for the last 2 days. It wasn't even in the weather. I checked my weather app to see what the long-term weather was. I never even saw rain in the forecast, and lo and behold, it started raining, and it just kept a nice sprinkle all day, and then through the night, and then all day yesterday. So down in Kansas, I'm sure we got, I'm going to say upwards of 2 inches or more, and it should have soaked in, so it's good muddy down there, and we've needed that for so very long. It's absolutely disturbing how dry it's been, and it's made the hunting season tough. Just no rain, no moisture, and we've had an unseasonably warm winter so far. And I'm sure it's that way in a lot of parts. No snow, no nothing. Just bare ground, and get up to 50 in the day. And it's not even like it was when we were kids. We always had snow. So I'll tell you, I'm on my way to see a friend over in Bertrand, Nebraska. We're meeting. And then we're heading clear out to western Nebraska. We're going on a calling trip for just today. This will be the maiden voyage for me. My first calling trip of the year. Obviously, just being booked up with hunters, it makes it kind of hard for me. And I want to hand that business over to somebody, because I want to start killing coyotes again. But I had two rifles built, and I talked to you guys about that. I went down to Butch's Guns down in Oklahoma, and they put together one complete build for me. New action, new barrel, new stock, new trigger, everything. And then on top of that gun, it's a carbon fiber barrel. And on top of that, I built a 22-250. I just went with the gun that I've killed the most coyotes with, and hands down, I've always been a 22-250 guy, so I'm sticking to my roots, and I don't want anything else, if you know what I mean. And I went with the 22-250, and on top of that gun, and it's suppressed, I've got Thunder Beast on it. Actually, it's a 30 cal beast on it, and I've got a iRay bolt on it, one of the newest ones, the version 2, 3.5 to 14, I believe, power, and it's a 640. It's unbelievable. I went out this last week, and I set one evening over here in Bertrand. My friend, he had to put down a cow for a guy in a pasture, and I told him to keep his eyes on it, and he got busy with life, and I had forgotten about it too, and he calls me and he said, well, I just went to the cow and it's pretty much gone already, because they check it out. What happens is the coyotes, he said he went in there the one day and they hadn't touched it, but he said there was coyotes everywhere right around it howling, and it's just like they wait for somebody to go in there and start chewing on it. And as soon as that cow's opened up, it's game on. And so he had left it about a week, and when he went to it, they had already had it cleaned up. So they'd cleaned it up in the last 2 days. So I went over there one evening because I wanted to start playing with my bolt and get figured out how to run it. And you know, I had hurried up and sighted it in, and that's probably not the way to do it. And I went and I sat. I missed two coyotes, and I killed two coyotes in about three and a half hours. And like I said, they had that thing cleaned up, so it was just pups coming into it, you know. And so the first coyote I missed, it was facing me, and it was about 150, 160 yard shot, and I was rock solid. I was sitting in my vehicle. I backed it in some cedars, and I missed it. Next coyote come in. I thought, well, I had to have shot maybe a little high and a little left or right. So the next coyote come in, it was broadside. I held low on it and I smoked it. Next coyote come in, and there was a lot of weeds. I could see weeds in my thermal, and they're them great big thick weeds. So you know if your bullet hits it, it's you're not hitting a coyote anyway, because your bullet's gonna be blowing up. Especially I'm shooting Superformance Hornady 50 grain VMAXs, so as soon as it hits a weed, that bullet's blowing up. And the next coyote come in, and I had a broadside shot, and I just remember being rock solid on that thing, and I pulled the trigger, and it just tucked its tail and took off running. I'm like, what in the world? So I was upset. And so the final coyote come in, and I held right at daylight, right underneath the coyote, right behind the front leg, and I smoked it. And I remember looking at it whenever we went up to it, Chris come out. We went to the coyotes, and I looked. I always try to pay attention to where I hit them, because I can remember where I was aiming. And I remember seeing the bullet where it blew. I could see it blew the fur a little bit. In right in the very front of the whole neck area, low down, and I'm like, gee whiz, I had to have been shooting left, because the coyote was facing left, and I was holding behind the front leg, and sure enough, I sighted it in. I waited for the next day or two, and we got a good day of no wind, and I went down to the farm, and I sighted it in. I was shooting about 2.5 inches high, and about 2 to 2.5 inches to the left. So I got that sucker dialed in, and I'm dead nuts, straight, just dead on at 100, and about 1.25, 1.5 inches high at 100. Now, they tell you to go dead on at 100, okay? I'm gonna always shoot the way I always shoot, and that's 1.5 inches high at 100. I've done that my whole life. In my mind, it's already calibrated. And even thermal hunting, I could kind of tell just a little bit that I've already started to doing with this iray bolt. I could tell those coyotes were 150 plus away. Just my knowledge of hunting coyotes and looking through scopes and knowing what I know. So I already had it in my mind. I was already shooting high at 150. That's where your bullet's going to be shooting the highest. So whenever I missed the two coyotes, I knew I probably shot high. And at 150, I'm probably shooting 3 to 4 inches high, because I'm 1.5 inches high. But I was shooting 2.5 high at 100 yards. So that put me 4 to 5 inches high at 100. So that's why I had to hold so low on the coyotes, because I knew I was shooting high. But the gist of it is, I'm getting it dialed in. I'm getting to the point where I really want to start pounding coyotes now. I've reached out to my connection in Montana. I would really like to go spend a month or 2 months up in Montana, just giving them heck, and just living the life again of killing coyotes. So that's my goal. Whether or not that'll transpire, I've got to get through the deer season first. But I wanted to fill you guys in. And then the second gun I had built by Butch's Guns down there in Oklahoma is, I took my old Remington Action. I had a Schilling barrel on it, and I already had a stock, a Hoke stock on it, that's been aluminum bedded. And so we pulled the Schilling barrel off, and we put a new carbon fiber. Proof Research is the carbon fiber barrel I'm using. And I have to tell you that I'm very impressed so far. I'm not a bench shooter. And for me, my triggers are about 2 pound pull. And the reason I've done that is because I've always had a heavy trigger, because whenever I'm in the cold and I've got gloves on, I shoot with gloves on. And it's just the liner gloves. I don't have heavy gloves, but I always like a heavy pull, and perhaps I should have backed them off just a little and maybe made them a pound trigger. But both my night gun and my day gun is about the same. And I could say that would be the only drawback right now, but that's a simple fix. I could loosen them up a little bit, turn them down. But when I shoot off of a bench, I usually just hit the bullseye, and I technically kind of jerk the trigger. That's how I do it. Whenever my crosshairs hit the target, I just hurry up and snap my finger. So you're not going to hear that from somebody else, that's how you do it. You're supposed to ease into the trigger. Yeah, I put grip on my trigger, but when I'm ready to roll, I just pop my trigger. And that's just the way Les Johnson shoots. I've always shot that away. And you can see from watching all my stuff, that's my success story. So, but other than that, we're heading out west. We're going to be hunting some primo country. And I don't think it's been tore up yet. And we should call some coyotes today. I'm excited. It's one of those things where I always have high hopes for the year, and I don't get to live out my hope and my dream, which I really wanted to go a lot harder on coyotes this year. But running the outfitting business, and trust me, I'm not complaining. I love taking people hunting, and I've developed some wonderful friendships with guys, and putting them on whitetail deer. And I outfit in Missouri and Kansas. It's a lot of running. I put a lot of miles on my pickup, and a lot of, like all season, I'm up at 3 and 4 in the morning, and I'm going till typically 8 at night, and then I'm crashing in bed. But it's a lot of work. The reward is just that I've got some outstanding clients that I've taken, and trying to put people on deer and helping them to have a successful hunt. So my Missouri stuff is 100% booked already, year to year, because those guys are so happy and the hunt is so fun, and I give them first right of refusal. They even stutter. I'll book everything. And what I do is I run big groups. So for rifle season is 11 days long. I run 2 5-day hunts, and we have a day in between where the new hunters will come in, and then they start their hunt the next day. And we book 6 guys and 6 guys, and everybody is plumb tickled and happy. And typically I'm running about 85% kill. I ran 7 guys the first 5 days this last year. They killed 100%. And then the next group, I had 6, and 3 of them killed, 3 of them didn't. 1 of them missed a Boone and Crockett deer, 120 yards, a net booner. And that's what everybody goes for their whole life. There's a lot of people that will never see a Boone and Crockett deer, especially a whitetail. And typically that's what happens on the big ones. And everybody's like, Les, show me your deer pics. Do you got any bruisers? I'm like, people don't kill the bruisers. What do you mean? They don't hit them. They can't hit them. They miss them. I don't care if it's with bow or whatever, but when I've taken people, a lot of the bow hunters mess it up. Some of my good bow hunters, they can get the job done. Cal Taylor, he's a coyote killer. I knew he could. He wanted me to put him on a whitetail. He wanted a 160 plus, and I put him on a big 5x5, and it took him, I think, 8 or 9 days, but I wanted him to keep hunting it. He hunted 5 days, then he went home to do business, come back a few days later. I was in Missouri guiding, and by golly, Cal got it done. That deer was a 180-inch 5x5. He netted right at buck. For an archery kill, that's phenomenal. That's a big deer, very big deer. And most guys can't get it done. They lose their shit, and there's a million reasons why they didn't get it, and that's just usually the story. So I'm excited to be going on this coyote calling trip this morning. I left Hastings at 4 this morning. I'm on my way to Bertrand. It's about an hour drive. It's west of Holdridge, and then we're going to jump in his vehicle. We're using my Polaris Ranger. It's got a cab on it, heat, AC, four-door, and we're hauling it out. We're going to spend the day in the hills. If we have a 3 or 4 coyote day, I'm going to consider that an exceptional day. So anything over that's going to be a bonus. Chris and his young boy, Tristan's going, and we're just going to have fun. But I wanted to get in touch with all of you, and I apologize that I haven't been around. I've had people checking on me, good friends that I've made through selling ammo. That's the great thing about what I do. I'm everybody's friend. I'll be your friend. And I'm a friendly face when you meet me. I try to be friendly to everybody unless I'm dead tired or something else going on. And I hope people never get the impression that I'm a prick, because I don't try to be a prick to anybody. And I've met so many wonderful, wonderful people that I have people checking on me and saying, hey, I was just out for a walk this morning. Between getting a load put in my truck, and I work for FedEx, and I was doing the walk, listening to a podcast of yours, and I've noticed you haven't put a podcast out, and I just wanted to check on you. And I love it that people care, and that's what this is about to me, is all of us are related, I'm telling you, because the people that listen to my podcast are people that absolutely have the same personality type as me. You're passionate and you're loving and you're caring, you're kind, you're a good, good person. And that's what I love about this. And I have to say thank you from the bottom of my heart that so many people are so caring. And where we're going to go with this is I want all of you to know that there is no easy fix to killing coyotes. There is no, I'm going out and I'm going to be successful on the first attempt. It comes with time in the field. A lot of people they come up to me, I wish I could be just like you, or it must be rough doing what you do, and I wish I could be as good as you. And the answer to all of that is you can be. And the way anybody gets to be successful in life is, number one, you've got to put your mind to it. If you aren't in the game with your mind, if you aren't zoned and focused and know where you want to go, you just will throw everything out the window, because you're not going to make it, right? You're not going to be where you wish you could be. Now, if you start saying, I want to be like Les Johnson, I want to be as good as he was, and you really, you're focused, and then you've got to put in the groundwork. You've got to put in the stands. You've got to put in so many days of calling coyote. You've got to pay attention to all your calling. And what I mean by that is, there's going to be days that it's going to be easy, and there's going to be a lot of days when it's going to be very, very tough. And you're going to be scratching your head as to, what am I doing wrong? And what my brother and I have always reverted back to is that we try to change things up and it don't work, we've always got to revert back to how do we always call coyotes with a hand call. It's just the same old sound, wah, 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 wah. And we've got to just revert back to that. We try to go out of the norm and use a special sound, and it's not calling coyotes, and we're calling certain country, and it's not working. We've got to revert back to what was working for us in the past. And it always reverts back to that, you know? So a lot of people try to overthink it. And I've always said it's simple. You just got to keep it simple. And the old saying is a kiss, you know, how do you stop a coyote? You kiss, or that's even how you bring them closer is you kiss. Keep it simple, stupid is what KISS stands for. So we all try to make it tougher than it is. And right now, there's people out there on top of their game. Like the calling, the level of success some people are having is out of this world. You know, I remember when Six Coyote Day was just a hell of a day. Now it's, you've got to be 10, 12, 14 coyotes in a day to be even keeping up with people. Like, everything's changed. And I think a lot of it is just from the e-call, the sounds are so much better. And perhaps there's more coyotes now. I don't know, because there's no trapping pressure anymore. The fur prices are horrible, so people aren't even killing coyotes. And like, to tell you guys the truth, I've seen more coyotes this year than I've ever seen in my life just driving in the dark. Like going to the farm this year to help harvest. There was times I was seeing two coyotes coming back from harvesting, coming back from Edgar, going to Hastings, 45 miles. And we're farm country. Like, it's not even really good coyote country. And I would see two of them alongside the road in the ditches. And most of the times, they would be adult coyotes. Sometimes they'd be pups. Maybe see one pup and one adult. But I've never seen that many coyotes. Now, to this day, you still don't see coyotes driving around in daylight hours. I'm not looking like I used to when I was a kid, but when I was a kid, I'd drive around every morning. I'd kill a coyote every single day driving around. Now, I can't even tell you the last time I've seen a coyote driving around during daylight hours. You just, the whole coyote thing has changed. They don't like to show their face during sunlight hours, but it seems like they're more active at dark. And it's truly amazing, and that's why the thermal game is getting so different, you know, and changing the way people are hunting. There's guys now that's the only way they hunt, you know, because they can't hardly call a coyote in the day, but yet at night they're putting up 10 coyotes, you know. It's totally changing the game. So basically, I wanted to touch base with all of you and give you some motivation to get out there. It's our job, I feel, as God's children, to help manage wildlife. And what was the big thing back in biblical times? How did they look at a person and his, as if he was wealthy or not? By the sheer number of goats he had, and donkeys, and cattle. So what did they do back in those times? They were shepherds. They managed their flocks. They were with their flocks day and night. And what did they have to do with their flocks of sheep and goats? They had to protect them. What are we looked at? I look at us as stewards of the land. So what's our job? Our job is to protect the wildlife. We are to be the stewards over the wildlife, in my opinion. Now, you're going to get people that want to argue with you about it, but whatever, you know, you're going to get that with everything. Our job is to help protect the deer, help protect the elk, help protect the sage grouse, help protect the sheep, the cattle, horses, donkeys, all of that, the goats. So how do we do that? We need to try to help manage predator numbers. In my opinion, predator numbers are way more out of control now than they've ever been in the life of my lifetime. Predator numbers are just through the roof. Like I said, I've seen more coyotes this year than I've ever seen in my life. Heck, I've been doing podcasts and say, well, there went a coyote just crossed the road in front of me. And you've all heard it. What's the odds of that? If you see one coyote, typically I like to think, you know, yeah, I need to be hunting in this area because there's sign that there's one, there's two, if there's two, there's three. You know, that's the way I think. So get out there and do some stewardship. Get to protecting the animals and the wildlife. Do it for that reason, you know. Not every one of you is going to want to be the best that you can be. You want to do this because you enjoy it. You like it. You don't have to be like me and be pissed off if you miss a coyote. You've heard me say it. I get upset when I miss a coyote because I'm so inner focused that I want, when I pull that trigger, I expect that animal to fall over. You hit a blade of grass, you hit a weed, your scope's a little bit off. There's a lot of variables.